In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. All of us have, in our lives, looked back and thought about something that was in our lives that we missed, or something that we longed for, something that was either a place where we lived, an event that took place, a person that we knew, or something that happened in our lives that we thought about and we looked back on and had this feeling that we know is nostalgic, something that we think back on and was important to us at some point in our lives. It may be that we don't even know what that was, but we have that feeling in us. As Christians, we believe that God has placed in each and every one of us, because we have the imprint through being created in His image and likeness. And as we know from reading in the book of Genesis, that which God created was good and is good. So that's an important element or aspect to this gospel when we hear from this 13th Sunday of Luke about this ruler who later in the parable we hear is rich, and our Lord's response to him about, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God." There's a misunderstanding of this, because at the same time we know that we were created in His image and likeness, the Trinity, and God deemed it or said that it was good. Not it, us were good. There's a lot to be said about that that I won't take the time today to go into, but I want to go back to this feeling inside of us, this longing that each and every one of us has, whether we recognize or acknowledge it or not, and what this longing really is. Because as I said, God has placed within each and every one of us this really profound, and it's persistent, a persistent desire, an instinct deep within us, within our hearts, not just for our parents or our home where we were born or where we grew up, but more importantly, and most importantly, for God Himself. We heard in this gospel reading today that this ruler responded to God, or rather he asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And as I said, we know through this parable later that he was rich. So then, why would he ask this question? He was rich. He presumably, from what the world would tell us, had everything, right? He had all his needs met and even more, plenty of financial resources in order to meet his needs, his food, his shelter, his clothing, and even more, all the enjoyments of life. Why would he want eternal life? What was it about eternal life that he felt, or he asked this question? He may not have understood it up here, and as we go through this parable, we can tell that the message of this parable is that he did not understand it. But why would he ask this question in the first place? He must have been deeply dissatisfied or longing for something, even if he couldn't recognize it. And so this is really the essence of this gospel for each and every one of us. We too, and each and every one of us at various levels, has our needs met, certainly. And even, I would say, all of us, to some extent, have even more than our needs met. We have anything or everything at our disposal. So why do we have this longing? Well, our Lord placed in each and every one of us, as I said, this imprint, this image of Him, of the Trinity. And it's really our life journey and challenge to recognize, to understand, and to respond. David, the prophet and king, experienced this longing for God. And he said in Psalm 42, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." St. Paul also knew this when he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, "We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." What makes us feel this way? What makes us have this longing? Father Conieris, who I've spoken about and referred to many times over the years, Father Conieris, Anthony Conieris, now of blessed memory, wrote in one of his books, he said, basically, it is because we are made in the image of God. And the image is always attracted to the original, the archetype. We were made for God. When God created us in His image, He endowed us with a mind that we may come to know Him. And in addition to our mind, He gave us a heart to desire Him, to long for Him, to crave Him, to run after Him, to be homesick for Him. St. Maximus the Confessor says, God has placed in the human heart the desire for Him. In addition to a mind to know Him and a heart to desire Him, God gave us part of His image. He gave us, and this is what we refer to in His divine love for His creation, that He Himself saw and sees as good, He gave us a free will so that we may freely choose to love Him. We may freely choose to come home to Him. He designed us, He created us to live in and with Him. And yet, as we know, many people, even each and every one of us at times in our lives, we hunger and we thirst, but we don't know for what. We're like that little child who may have said to one of us as parents, "I want something, but I don't know what it is." We've all been hungry at times for something, but we don't know what for. We're hungry for. We just have that feeling of hunger. For some people, this homesickness, if you will express itself through loneliness. We may be with our spouse or our family, our best friend, and all of a sudden we find ourselves with a terrible sense of loneliness or emptiness. We were made for God, and without Him, we can be lonely even in the midst of people, even right here, even with friends and family. Another way we express this loneliness or this homesickness or this longing is through our dissatisfaction or our discontent in life. We find ourselves sometimes unhappy, and we don't even know why we're unhappy. We don't even know why. We may attach it to something or someone, but we don't really know why we are discontent or dissatisfied or unhappy. We have everything, but we want even more. And when we get it, we still feel empty or dissatisfied. We often say at this time of the year, we see or we find ourselves maybe running around busy with all sorts of activities, with events, with gatherings, social events, even here in the church, all sorts of things. And yet, we still find ourselves seeking, searching, longing. Perhaps that's why this ruler came to Jesus today. Even though he was very rich, he couldn't satisfy that deep desire that only God himself can fill. That deep desire that is God. Father Conieris says again, there is only one sickness, and that is homesickness. And this nostalgia, this homesickness for God, is responsible for most of our other sicknesses, whether they be emotional, physical, and even spiritual. The hunger for God is the kind of hunger that is, until it is satisfied, nothing else we can do or nothing else we can have will satisfy us. This is very important for us to understand, because in extreme circumstances, it can manifest itself into addictive behavior, whether it be substances or whether it be something else that we try to fill ourselves with. We've heard oftentimes St. Paul says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we know, a temple or a container or a vessel is meant to be filled with something. It's not meant to just be there empty. Now, we may look at them now just for some type of decoration, but throughout history, a vessel was meant to be filled with something. It's the same thing with us. It will be filled with something. The question is, what do we choose to fill our vessel, ourself, our temple, our body, our mind, our heart, our entire being with? In less extreme but more common cases, it manifests itself in general dissatisfaction, discontent, and even complaining, Father Conieris says. When we often indulge our friends and acquaintances when they are not happy. But Father Anthony tells this story. A person said to a friend, I'm really very dissatisfied with my life. The friend responded, congratulations. What do you mean by that? Didn't you hear me? I said I was unhappy with the way things are going in my life. His friend replied again, you are very fortunate. God is speaking to you through your discontent, through your unhappiness. It's part of your desire, your longing for God. He's got something much better for you than what you believe or think you are missing, only if you will come home to Him. Think of the very familiar parable of the prodigal son. What happened when he finally returned to the father? What happened first? He came to his senses. He came to his senses. He recognized he was longing for something. He recognized his surroundings. But first he needed to recognize that longing, that desire for that which he had, his inheritance. And St. Paul speaks about that inheritance, the richness of the mercy of God. This is inheritance, not the material possessions. Yes, we do these things. Yes, through generations, inheritances have been collected and passed down to the next generation. And it will go on until the end of time. But that which we seek, that which we long for, that's what this parable is about. And that's what we heard in the epistle. And that's what all these parables are about, for us to recognize, to come to our senses, this longing for the richness and the compassion and the mercy of God, for us to return home. We have a choice. We can choose to go home to God through our prayer and through our worship, through our fasting and through our almsgiving. Yes, our almsgiving. Through responding to the call of God. We can learn how to go home through the examples, through the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, the saints, and Jesus himself, in reading about his life, in reading his words, his actions, and ultimately in understanding his sacrifice for us, so that we too may have this opportunity, this gift to return home. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And now I'm speaking about each and every one of us, not just this ruler. Are we directing this question to the right persons? Are we seeking the answer in the right places? Are we responding to the invitation, to the call of our Lord? Are we offering this to God himself? And finally, how will we respond to the answer that we receive? Will we be sad like this rich ruler? Or will we be joyfully obedient? Will we run to the Father as the prodigal son did? Will we accept what he says to us, even to be his hired hand, so to speak? Will we rejoice in the blessings that come from our Creator, who we are made in his image and likeness, and who each and every one of us have been imprinted with this desire, with this longing to be with him? This is the question for each and every one of us. Let our answer be as it was for the saints and the martyrs, for the apostles, and for, as we hear from Thomas, "Yes, Lord, you are my Lord and my God." And Mary and Martha, "Mary, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God." Let this be our response on this day and forever in our lives. Amen. Again and again in peace, let us pray to the Lord.